I want you to turn to, I think, a very familiar passage, Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, I'm going to begin reading at verse 29. I'll read down to verse 31. Okay, you can follow with me or read with me if you want to. Mark 12, 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Does that ring a bell? "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." This, of course, is the Shema, right? In that 29th and 30th verse. You know, the rabbis say that there are 613 commandments to be kept by anyone that is following Old Covenant Judaism. Well, New Testament or New Covenant believers have realized that God has abolished the Old Covenant, and he has ratified a new covenant, and he did it at the cross by the shed blood and the poured out life of Messiah Jesus. There's no more need for an annual or a daily sacrifice for sin, because Jesus, by one sacrifice for all, paid the entire sin debt for all humanity, and any person can benefit by depending upon Messiah Jesus and so receive him as Savior. And at that very moment, that person is set free from the penalty of sin and also is set free from any debt to the law. The New Covenant believer is not living under any part of the Mosaic or the Old Covenant law. We have no obligation as New Covenant believers pertaining to any of the 613 laws of the Torah. Instead, we as New Covenant believers live under something else. It's called grace. We're under the reign of grace, the rule of grace. And that's the same thing as what is called the royal law of Messiah. And God makes it very simple for us by summing up the New Covenant believer's responsibility to keep commandments. He sums it up to just one commandment. And this is it. You're to love God with, as he says here in that 30th verse, with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In fact, over in Romans 13, listen to these verses. Paul says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." There's just one commandment that we have to be concerned with as believers. It's the command to love. But it's very costly. In fact, what does it mean to love God as verse 30 says in Mark 12? What does it mean to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? Have you thought that through? I want to share some thoughts that I actually got from a book that I recently read called Living Sacrifice. It's by a missionary medical doctor. I think she's with the Lord now, Dr. Helen Rosevere. But anyway, has some interesting thoughts. I shared it with my wife the other night on her definition and description of what it means to love God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. I don't recall ever seeing it so specifically laid out as this. So I want to share those thoughts with you after we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight. Thank you for making it so utterly clear and simple for us. We don't have to worry about 613 laws. We simply have to focus on your love in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit hath shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. And so we simply need to take that love and let it be released through our lives. Teach us how to do that, Lord. Speak to us through this passage and these thoughts tonight. May it be a heart searching. May our hearts be laid bare. May we receive from this precisely what you want us to get. May it be life changing in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of things. I'm going to begin with that first phrase. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart. She says that loving God with all your heart is a spiritual cost that has to be paid. Here's her words. I must give my heart and let God love through it, whom and how he chooses, even if it seems at times to break my heart. And then I've thought through that a little bit and added a couple of thoughts along those lines. It means that we are going to be required to love the unlovable. By that I mean, as believers, we're called to love people that maybe to us, we would call them deplorable. We're even called to love our enemies, you remember? The Bible says that we are to love, and we're to love people who perhaps have hurt us, people who have abused us, people who have taken advantage of us. In fact, I think it's true that if we do not love that way, if we do not learn to love the unlovable, if we don't let God love the unlovable through us, I don't believe that we can really be sanctified. I think he requires this of us because this is a sanctifying part of the believing life that's very important. So to love God with all your heart, it's going to cost you in the spiritual realm. You're going to have to love the unlovable, and you're going to have to love in ways that are unthinkable. By that I mean to give real expression to loving in ways that perhaps you thought it was impossible. I could never love that person. I could never do anything that would be good for that person. You're going to have to love in ways that are unthinkable to you, at times that are repulsive to you. You know, God has one plan. It's a redemption plan. And that redemption plan is two-pronged. It is the salvation of lost souls and the sanctification of believers. That's God's total plan on this planet. The salvation of souls and the sanctification of believers. And so God really puts forth a cost here. He lays down a cost. We're to love God with all of our heart because that's the way that he sanctifies us. He puts us in a position where we have to do things that are impossible to us, unthinkable to us, that relates to unlovable people. The second area in that 30th verse, you should love the Lord your God with all your soul. Here's how she defines that. To love God with all your soul, she says, is a volitional, that is, you have to make a choice, you have to decide. It's a volitional and it is an emotional cost that has to be paid to love this way. To love God with all your soul, she says, I must give God my right to choose and to decide in all my relationships for him to guide and control even when I can't understand his reasoning. I can repeat that. She says, I must give God my right to choose and decide in all my relationships for him to guide and control even when I can't understand his reasons. Which leads me to say this. To love God with all of your soul means that there's a priority in our love. And that is, you must fulfill God's priority and not do what's on your favorites list. It means you have to do, you're not doing what you personally love to do, and you're not being with whom you want to be with, because the priority is what God wants you to do and with whom God wants you to be with. So to love him with all your soul, it's a volitional and it's an emotional cost that has to do with your priority. And that kind of thing really, I think, brings perplexity into our lives. That is, God's way and God's will at times will not make sense to us. It will bring perplexity to us. Perhaps God's way and God's will might even appear to be counterintuitive, absolutely out of the question. But when you love God with all of your soul, even though there's perplexity that may be attached to it, you follow him. You let him decide. The third area that she brings up here, or that God mentions and she defines for us, you're to love God with all of your mind. And she says that's an intellectual cost. I must give him my thinking. I must give him my thoughts, my intellect, my reasoning powers, and trust him to work through them, even when he may appear to act in contradiction to common sense. Loving God with all your mind is giving him your thoughts, giving him your thinking, letting him order your mindset, you might say, giving him your intellect, your reasoning power, trusting him to work through all of this, even when it seems contradictory to common sense. When I was a young pastor, a young husband, a young father, and we had very, very little income as a church planter, very little income in our lives. The Lord challenged me to take the couple of credit cards that I had and cut them up and not use them, not depend upon them, but depend upon him. and some other things too, that didn't seem to make sense. Didn't really, kind of contradictory to common sense. And yet it was a, it was an exercise that God challenged my heart with to teach me to live by faith, to train me early on to depend upon Him. Loving God with all of our mind may lead us to do things that other people would say, he's crazy. That doesn't make any sense. But I would say this. When you talk about human rationale and you compare that with what God says, it really looks like human rationale is ignorance. Your way of thinking versus God's way of thinking could really be ignorance. In fact, think about Peter. When he heard that Jesus was going to be crucified, he said, far be it from you. This isn't going to happen to you. It's like saying, over my dead body, you know, Lord, this isn't the plan. And Jesus told him, you're thinking like a man. You're thinking on a human level. You're not thinking like God thinks. That's basically what Jesus told him there at that time. Natural thinking is not self-sacrificing love. Natural human thinking is all about self-preservation at all costs. And it amounts to really an utter ignorance of God's way, God's way of thinking. To love God with all of your mind means that you have to understand that human rationale really equals ignorance. And real intelligence is God's wisdom. God's wisdom is eternal. God knows the end and the beginning. God sees the whole picture. God knows what the goal is. He knows how to accomplish it and what miraculous result will be accomplished if you simply believe Him and depend upon Him to work. Reminds me again of a story that she shares in her writings about how God taught her to love Him with all of her mind. And if I can find it here, yeah. She said, one godly man in the church there in Africa where she was serving as a missionary, after he led the group in believing prayer, he smiled at me and rebuked me for something that I said. He said, doctor, when you are being a doctor in your white coat, stethoscope around your neck, speaking French, you're miles from us. We fear you. And we all say, yes, yes, hardly even hearing what you said. But when you are working with us down at the brick kiln, making bricks, and your hands are rough as ours are and bleeding, or when you are out at the markets using our language and even making us laugh at the misuse of it, that's when we love you and how we have come to trust you and can listen to what you tell us of God and His ways. There's an example of loving God with all of your mind. And then she explains what it means to love God with all of your strength, the fourth area. She says that pertains to a physical cost, loving God with all of your strength. She says, I must give Him my body to indwell and through which to speak and reveal Himself, whether He chooses to do so by health or sickness, by strength or weakness, and totally trust Him with the outcome. And she gives an example of how the Lord taught her to love him with all of her strength by actually making her very, very sick. And she could not function as she normally did. Instead, she was completely dependent upon the people that she worked with to take care of her. And here's what she says about that. It was a great joy that for once they knew without question that they were needed and had a chance to show their love in willing service. They had a giving role and not just the usual receptive one. But their joy in this instance lay not in my physical strength, but in my weakness. I believe this was part of the deeper meaning of love me with all your strength, that I must give my body, my strength to God, even to sickness that was nearly death, that he might love others through me. I was to give him the strength I had sought to develop, even accepting that he would replace it with weakness. And God used that to enable her to love him with all of her strength, even when that meant that she could not care for herself, but was under the care of the people that she worked with. Also, she was captured by the Marxist rebels that invaded that country. It was then the Belgian Congo back in the 60s. And she was brutally treated, beaten, raped, and suffered terrible. And she said when she was being beaten, you know, she heard the Lord speaking to her heart, not audibly, but in her heart, "Can I trust you?" She said that's normally it's the other way around. "Lord, can I trust you?" But the Lord was saying to her, "Can I trust you? Can I trust you to let me use your body as I see fit?" Loving the Lord with all your strength. You see, because your body is an outlet. Your body is a channel. God has ownership of our bodies. Our bodies don't belong to us. And so God has the right to use us any way he sees fit. In fact, to be used by God is to see yourself as simply a means to an end. That's exactly what Paul meant when he said, "I don't count my life dear unto myself." Because he saw his body, he saw his life as simply a means to the end of evangelizing and doing the work of the ministry that God called him to. A greater end than could be imagined, and a privilege to really be a part of a marvelous plan of redemption. So our bodies, we're to love God with all of our strength because our bodies are simply the outlet where through which his love can flow. And of course, there's that outcome, the result of partnering with Jesus to be his instrument, to be his vessel, to be his channel, to what Hebrews says, to bring many sons to glory. That's what Jesus came for. And that's what he wants to use us for, to bring many sons to glory, to pull some out of the fire, to bring people not only to Christ, but even into conformity to Christ. So, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That's the commandment. And only as you're daily willingly, as you daily are willing for him to crucify the self-life in you, can Jesus live in and through you his own victorious life. Otherwise, you'll be learning these lessons over and over again. Do you like learning the same lessons over and over again? I mean, I'm sure repetition aids learning. I'm aware of that. But I don't like getting beat up over and over again. I like getting beat up once and then I get it. You know what I'm saying? Yes, God is gracious. And he'll go on teaching us. He's patiently waiting for us. He'll overflow us with his enablement on a daily basis through his Spirit. But God's working on us. Do you sense that? You know, God's working on your temperament. Mine too. When I say you, I mean myself. God's working on your temperament. Your temperament's not usable till God works on it. God's working on your habits. Some that he wants to get rid of in your life, make you more conform to his image. God's working on your unbelief. You're not trusting him in this matter or that matter. God's working on your emotions and on your feelings. God's working on your fears. He's working on your pride. He's working on those sins that so easily trip you up all the time. He's working on your self-pity, on your self-reliance, on your self-justification, on your fear to face your real self. God's causing you to have to face your real self. It's not pretty. It's not fun. But God wants you to see yourself as others see you. God's gradually stripping you of all that you hold dear. You know why? So that he might be the dearest thing that you have in your possession. So that you might cling to him and nothing else. That's what God's doing. And that's what it means. And that's what it's about. To love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love is the fulfilling of the law. That's the one commandment that we have as believers.